Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for stopping by. Look, there's a chair for you right here at my table. Pull it up, sit down. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes talking about, I think, one of the most popular Bible verses. And in fact, we're going to look at the entire passage that surrounds this verse. It begins with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you know this, right? That he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We see this verse all over the place. And yet we sometimes, I don't know about you, but I think we can become so desensitized or familiar with this verse that we overlook just how important it really is. I want to look at this verse today, and I'm going to read from the gospel of today's daily mass. This verse is included in there, and talk a little bit about this idea of believing in Jesus. What exactly does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I really think that there is some definite food for thought there. And I think there's a lesson each of us can learn. I think it can help us. We, as Christians, we're not going to find a Christian that says, I don't believe in Jesus. But what exactly does that word mean? I think it's critical that we really expand that and look at it and recognize that, look, we all struggle with believing in Christ. And again, just stick around. We will talk about that. I know that sounds radical. Yeah, we believe he existed, but when it comes to his relevance in each of our lives, are we willing to really trust him? Are we really willing to follow him? Are we really open to his words for us? And this is all part of that idea of believing. So anyway, this is some really good stuff from John's gospel that we're going to talk about on the show today. So I'm really glad that you decided to stop by. You picked a good day to listen to the program. Let's see what else is going on. I hope you're doing well. It's kind of dreary. I'm looking outside right now here in southern New Jersey. It's a little dreary, but earlier this morning it was beautiful. So me and the missus had a chance to take a nice walk earlier today. Hey, you know what? I just hope your things are going well for you and that you're at peace. I really am. And I am praying for you. I'm praying for you every day because life can be so hard, can it? And my goal, one of my goals with this program is to give you hope. I think we could all stand a little bit more hope, and all hope ultimately comes through following Jesus Christ. That's the way we're going to get the hope. And I'm going to pray. We're going to pray in a few minutes here. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me today. As you know, if you're a listener to the program, you know I do that every day. To really speak through me and deliver the message that the Lord wants me to deliver. Because I believe you need to hear something today and every day. And I don't want to just prepare something and go with and stick to the script. I have a script today, but the emphasis, what I choose to emphasize, I'm really going to let that be up to the Holy Spirit, okay? So just settle in, because I think you're in the right place. I don't think it's an accident that you're listening to the program today. So with that in mind, let's talk to our Father in heaven. Let's begin in prayer. Talk a little bit about him sending his Son. Ask for what we need today. I'm going to ask for that he gives me the words for this program, and ask that he will open our minds to his message. All right, so if you would join me, let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, man, what a great honor it is to be able to have this conversation with you. Father, I really know that you're with each of us today. Wherever we are, you're present with us. Father, thank you for loving us into existence. You created us because of your great love for us. You wanted us to share in your joy. Even though you didn't need us, you chose to create us because you wanted us to enter into a relationship with you. So, Father, for that, we are very grateful. And, Father, we praise you. We thank you for everything that you have done in our lives, even the things that are unpleasant, because we know that anything you allow to happen in our lives can somehow help us and is somehow an expression of your love. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through the scriptures, through the teachings of your church. Father, thank you for sending your Son into our fallen world to draw us closer to you, to repair the damage done by sin. We thank you, Father, for granting us the privilege to live with you forever in heaven, in total happiness. What a great privilege that is. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, to pour out a special dose of the Holy Spirit on me right now so that I can deliver the message that you have for us. Give me the courage to go off script if I feel it's necessary. Give me the humility to step aside, to follow the lead of your Spirit. Father, please open all of our minds and hearts through the working of your Holy Spirit to be receptive to the message you have and to be willing to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask you to give us this day our daily bread, whatever it is we need. We ask that you give it to us this day. And Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's always a dangerous thing when I pray, give me the courage to go off script. It's dangerous for me because I don't know what the heck, I don't know where we're going to go with this. But you know, I really, honestly, I do this show to really try to help you. And the best way I can help you is to deliver God's message to you. And that means that sometimes the script, and I never have much of a script, I have an idea of what I want to talk about, but sometimes, little secret, sometimes I don't really have much of an idea at all, but I just feel a certain prompting of the Spirit. But I want to give you the message he wants you to get, and I don't want to just editorialize and give you my own opinion. So that's why I prayed that way, and I really am going to listen. So if during the show I feel like I should go off in a certain direction, I'm going to do it, and I think it's going to be beneficial for all of us. Let's see what else is going on. So, Sunrise Morning Show today. I hope you were able to catch it. I hope you're able to catch my talk on the Sunrise Morning Show. But if not, I guess you missed it. You can catch it next week at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Ed, that's every Wednesday on the Sunrise Morning Show. And don't forget the conference this weekend, the Listening to God Conference, which I'm going to be participating in, along with 50 other Catholics, 50 plus other Catholic speakers. Don't know who they are. I hope you're going to get a chance to participate in that. If you want to register, you have to register in advance. It is free. You can register in advance, but you need to go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and that's it. That's important to do that, to register in advance. So followingthetruth.com is the place to do that. Hey, while you're there, check out my new book, Give Up Worry for Good. You might want to pick up that. If you have not yet gotten on my mailing list for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, I would encourage you to do that as well. And I guess that's about it. But followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, I want to get right to this Bible passage. Actually, this is the gospel from today's daily mass. John 3:16. We see it all over the place. God so loved the world. Let's talk a little bit about that. I'm going to read the entire passage. And I think it's critical for us to look at this idea of what it means to believe in Christ. We also need to look at God's love for us too. That's important too. So let's just read it. This is John 3:16, verse 16 through 21. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So God so loved the world. He loves us so much. Even though many of us are guilty of, all of us, some of us more so than others, all of us are guilty of turning our backs on him and committing sin at some point in time. And, you know, we do it all the time. But it doesn't stop God from loving us. He sent his Son into the world to suffer, to die on the cross, to make reparation or to atone for our sins. He took all of our sins on himself. He suffered the agony. He suffered the pain that we deserved and died on the cross for us. Now, you may think, well, that's not, I don't get that. Why was that necessary? Well, look, I can't speak for God, but I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. Number one, it shows the severity of sin. And I think one of the ways we can begin to appreciate the gravity of sin is to realize what had to happen as a result of sin. The fact that Christ had to suffer that excruciatingly painful death on the cross. And if you read about scourging, you know, you read the gospel accounts of the Passion, and it just mentions, the evangelists simply mentioned that Jesus was scourged. But scourging was an incredibly brutal and barbaric practice. I mean, literally, Christ was tied to a post, bent over, tied to a post with his bare back exposed, and he was whipped with these whips that had sharp stones attached to them. So his flesh was ripped open. I mean, you know, it's just, it seems way too sanitized when you look at the account of the Passion in the Bible, because a lot of the details aren't really explained. And unfortunately, we look at a lot of crucifixes and it's a too pretty of a picture. We don't really appreciate what Christ went through. That's why a movie like The Passion of the Christ is so effective, because we're shocked when we see what he went through. But it gives us an idea of the severity of sin. That was necessary. That's what sin looks like. That innocent man on the cross, God, man, fully human, fully divine, him on the cross, dying, suffering, and all that pain and agony was because of sin. And certainly, when we look at him, Jesus on the cross, and what he went through, number one, it helps us to appreciate his love for us, that he was willing to go through all that. And at the same time, it helps us to appreciate the horrific effects of sin. So that's why when we look at Jesus coming into the world, we have to understand that. I mean, he left the comforts of heaven to undergo or to be exposed to all of the things that we struggle with: hunger, rejection, being tired. In addition to that horrific death on the cross, he was able to feel pain as well. He did that willingly because he loved us. And, you know, God sent his Son into the world fully knowing what would happen, fully understanding that even now in the year 2021, Jesus would still be rejected by so many people. And he did that because he so loved the world. And in that verse, John 16, I didn't get past the first verse yet, but the reason God sent his Son into the world, the reason was so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life and not perish. In other words, if you believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven. That's a given. A lot of times we overcomplicate that. It's right in the Bible. It's right in Scripture. As a Catholic, I believe that. And that's something we have in common with other Christian denominations. We believe that. If we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. That's a given. Now, sometimes we vary on what that word believe actually means. So let's talk a little bit about that. But before I do that, let me continue reading. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, which he could have done. Jesus could have come and said, that's it. You guys are all condemned. Everybody goes to hell now because you're sinners. That wasn't the intent. You know, the amazing thing about God and his love for us, he gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. He gives us time. And I look at how merciful God has been to me in my life. Had I died when I was in my early 20s, I would be much less likely to go to heaven than I am now. I'm not saying that I don't have a lot of work to do. I still do. But at least I know Christ now on a personal level. I have a stronger relationship with him. And I'm doing my best to cooperate with the grace that he gives me and to try to be holy. I'm working on that. I don't believe that I'm working my way to heaven. I'm working with the grace the Lord gives me, which will allow me to be purified, to be transformed into the image of Jesus. That's what the grace does. So in other words, I'm in a better position now than I was several decades ago. So the gift of time is absolutely mercy in action. You're alive right now. You can still, I don't care how much of a mess your life is spiritually. I don't care how distant or remote you are from Jesus at this point in time. You are alive. You can turn it around today, instantly, by accepting him as your Lord and Savior, by surrendering to his will, by repenting of your sins. That's it. That puts you on the road. Now, it's not a one and done deal. And that's where we get into this whole belief thing. But it is not too late. The good thief on the cross, it wasn't too late for him. He couldn't do anything besides give his will to Jesus and say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was acknowledging him as a king. He acknowledged his wrongdoing when he told the other thief, hey, this guy did nothing wrong. We deserve what we got. In other words, he was repenting. That's what he was doing while he's nailed to a cross. So if it wasn't too late for the good thief, it's not too late for you. So God is not trying to condemn anybody. God is trying to give us multiple opportunities to convert, to turn our lives around. God sent his son into the world so that everyone may be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The idea of, I mean, again, this is so simple that it's easy to downplay this. But if we believe in Christ, we will not be condemned. And don't worry, I'm going to get to that. We'll talk more about what that means. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world. So Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Look, those of us at some point in our, all of us at some point in our lives have done something that we're ashamed of. We don't want people to find out about. Because if they find out, they're going to think less of us. When the light comes, when Jesus comes into the world, when we encounter Christ and have that encounter with him, we're honest and let him speak to us and really listen to what he has to say, let his Holy Spirit work in us, right? There's going to be things that will come to light that we're not pleased with. We can't hide anything from him. And when we begin to realize that things, and the way this happens is by a continued exposure to Christ. So the more you get to know Christ, the more time you spend with him, the more time you receive the sacraments, the more time you read Scripture, the more you're going to be convinced that there are things in your life that are not good. Sin. Imperfections, which is a lesser degree than sin, but things that need to be changed. So we can have two reactions. We can reject the message. It's very easy. You know what? It's way too easy to close the Bible and say, I don't want to hear this. You know what? I don't need this right now. Or to avoid addressing the issue. And that's why people rejected Jesus. And that's why he was killed, because the people who really needed to do some reformation in their lives, they didn't want to. So the light was rejected. The light of the world was rejected. God knew that would happen because nothing surprises God. It's not like there are developments that take him by surprise. He's all-knowing, so that didn't surprise him. But it was worth, you were worth the risk to him to send his son in the world to be rejected. Which is a pretty impressive indication of how much God loves us. That he's willing to send his son into the world despite the fact that he would literally be put to death and rejected. But you know, the amazing thing is Jesus and his movement and his church couldn't be killed off. That's the mistake that people have been making for some 2,000 years. Just get rid of him. Let's just not mention him. Let's just not talk about him. And yet, Christ still exists. He is still alive. His church is still alive. And his church will be alive until the end of time. So we're not going to be able to kill him off. But let's focus on this word believe. You know, so if I believe in the Son of God, and I surrender my life to him, and I repent, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior, then I will go to heaven. That is absolutely true. But what does it mean to believe in Christ? It doesn't just mean to believe that he existed. It doesn't just mean to believe that he performed miracles. But to believe in Christ means literally to believe in him. To believe that he is who he said he is. But it can't stop there. Because once you acknowledge, right, that Christ is the Son of God, that Christ speaks with the authority of the Father, that Christ founded a church, then all of a sudden you're faced with another decision. If I really believe in him, then I'm going to listen to him. Because if you're not listening to him and doing what he's telling you to do, you're not really believing in him. So you see where this gets a little dicey? We can't say we believe in Christ unless we're following his commands, unless he really matters, unless he really makes a difference in our lives. And for all of us, there comes that point, that challenge somewhere in what he's telling us, that we have to make a decision. I'm either going to change or I'm going to reject Jesus, which means I don't believe in him. This can be challenging. It really can. Now, for many of us, the idea of loving your enemy is something that becomes incredibly difficult. People have troubles with various teachings of Christ and his church. But we have to really, and I think the Holy Spirit is great for this, we have to be honest with ourselves and ask, am I really believing in Christ? And not just a one-time expression of belief, but an everyday declaration through not just our words, but through our thoughts and our actions that, yeah, I do believe in Jesus. And it even gets down to, Jesus said, your Father will provide for your needs. Don't worry. Are we believing those words? Are we at least trying to put his words, his commands? I mean, he said it multiple times, do not worry. Are we trying to put it into practice? Are we trying? It's okay to try and fail. But are we asking for his help and trying our best to place our trust in God the Father? I was doing a local radio show interview earlier today after the EWTN segment for a Catholic station in Mobile, Alabama. And I made the point that when we tell Jesus we trust him, it's not a feeling. It's a conscious decision. Jesus, I trust you. Not I feel trust. I trust you. I'm going to choose to trust you. Therefore, I'm going to listen to you. You're telling me, Lord, to not worry about my problems, but instead to ask my Heavenly Father for what I need. Well, I'm choosing to trust that that's going to work. That's what it means to believe in Christ, to listen to his words and really to put them into practice. And for all of us, there's a point that we struggle with that. You know, so this is the type of thing that we all have to look at in our own lives. Now, there are different degrees of the severity of rejecting Christ's teaching. Choosing to worry is a whole lot different than choosing to do some severe act that's morally wrong. You know, there's different degrees of sinfulness. So I'm not saying that every sin is created equal or every imperfection is created equal. They're not. But let's ask ourselves today, and I'm just about out of time, do I really believe in Jesus? And ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Holy Spirit, help me know where I'm messing up. And then pray for the grace to change. And then cooperate with that grace, okay? That's what we're called to do. And yes, if we fully believe in Christ and listen to him and do what he says, we're going to get right to heaven. Let's try to do that, okay? Any questions? Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I hope to see you here tomorrow. I plan to be here. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.